four comedians are also real good friends, working on jokes, the fun never ends. They're asking each other, is this anything?
Great. Now I feel like good. I like my two tones. Got a little white light here, a little warm light there.
Two Tones was the original pitch for Two-Face as a villain in Batman. But they were like, it doesn't sound too scary, Two-Tones.
He's like, I have an indoor voice and an outdoor voice. they call me Two-Tones.
Oh no, here comes Two-Tones. Whoa, how did he do that?
How do you do that?
He's like one of those... Like one impressive. Of those Gregorian monks that can harmonize with himself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Robbie Two-Tones.
Instead of flipping a coin, he flips like a bouncy ball with one of those swirly colors on it. Not really sure which. There's no side for it to land on.
Anthony, if you hum, like, get it up in your nose, but then you also make a whistle so you can get a little air. Jim Carrey does this in Dumb and Dumber, actually.
Oh. Whoa.
He says, I met a girl and she tractor beam sucked me right in. That's what he does. And that's why I first heard that sound. And I was like, oh my God, I got to do that sound. This poster came into play. I did a show with the Sklar Brothers, which was great.
Reading a Sklar.
Sklar brothers.
Somebody just pull on your leg?
On your wiener.
Is one of them below you?
Mention us!
Sklar brothers, yes. Okay.
Weird names.
Sklar. And so you hosted for the Sklar Brothers?
Hosted for the Sklar Brothers, and that was like, I was like a childhood dream come true. I mean, like,
oh yeah, they're really nice, right?
First. Oh yeah, they were super kind, and it was just fun to see, because they were practicing something ahead of time. So if you remember, they used to have a TV show I forget the name of it, where they would look at sports clips on ESPN and they would just make fun of it.
Oh yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And so that was a show that they did, and they have not been on the air in a long time, but they decided to pull a clip and do the same thing. And it was like a long, like 20 minute clip where it's Michael Jordan playing some exhibition game against Martin and Charlie Sheen. And it's just this really weird televised event. And so they pulled that clip and they're making fun of it, but they wanted to practice before the show. So it was just really cool to see the two of them working with the tech and just being like, okay, let's play this. And they're running through their jokes. And it was just so fun for me to watch, you know, anybody just kind of run through the, okay, there we go. And they're like saying what jokes they're going to say. And they're kind of fiddling around with it. And then I got to watch them do it for their audience, which was really cool. That wasn't even the main story, but I was doing this show with them. Like I said, childhood dream come true. I mean, I think that their like Comedy Central Presents back in like 94 was like one of the best things I'd ever seen up to that point. So it was like,
I remember also seeing them pretty young and being like, wow, these guys are so funny. And back when at a point where I was like, most comedy is terrible.
Yeah, so definitely like my one of my comedy awakenings there. So that was really kind of cool to perform with them and meet them. So Alex Edelman was also on the show. And then Alex had this really long bit about how he went to a concert and it was just Jeff Daniels unplugged. And he's like, yeah, because my biggest complaint about Jeff Daniels' music career, it's too produced, too plugged, you know? So I'm glad I got to see him unplugged. And he just goes on, he goes to his website, shares the website screen, and he's like reading some of the stuff about the Jeff, and it's just so pretentious. He's like, you know, I don't make music, I don't make hits, you know? But if you want to know who I am, you know, listen to this album. And so after he's done with that whole thing, I come back on to host, and I'm right behind this thing. I got a very similar setup, but it's just a little bit higher. And I said, give it up for Alex Edelman and Jeff Daniels, everybody. Jeff Daniels, right? And Alex came back on. He's like, what the fuck? You actually have a painting? I was like, yeah, I know, I got this. So that was just a fun thing that came up.
Oh, that's cool. Jim Carrey also makes a sound that I made in Dumb and Dumber, but when I was trying to make the sound that you guys made. but a different part.
Ah, right.
Is that when he...
You want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Yeah.
And then he also, Jim Carrey says one of the coolest things, which is, big gulp, all right. What was it? What's that part?
Yeah, he just comes out of the convenience store. There's two extras just, you know, sitting there, and he talks to the background actors, like, in the scene. He just walks out. He's like, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
Yeah, that's what it was. Well, see you later. Yeah, that's it.
Did you guys know that that moment was improvised?
I think they said that while they were talking about it. So yeah, probably, right. Yeah. I think they said that he improvised it.
But when
they
who were talking about this, did you say that it was improvised?
I didn't say those words exactly. I did say that they were background actors and he just started talking to them. So I heavily
implied.
I didn't remember if we said it or not, but I knew that.
Jared,
it was.
I didn't know that. Until Rob gave Rob, you know, explained it.
Wait, but did you know that that was improvised?
Actually, I have, and much to Rob's chagrin, I have never seen Dumb and Dumber.
What?
Wow.
And much to Anthony's chagrin.
Damn.
Is it? Oh, wait. I don't know if I've been chagrined, but I do know that you hate being told to watch movies, I believe.
You don't like when people react like that.
Well,
I don't like when people react like, oh, you haven't seen this. Rob, you talked it up like so much that I was like, okay, I should see this for Rob. And for that reason, I'm like, I should see this. But if it's just like a movie that doesn't have a special thing, but you just feel like most people have seen it, then it does bother me. But so also, you talked up BoJack Horseman a lot, and I watched like 4 seasons of it, and I was like, when does this get good? You're like, I don't know, I stopped watching it. I was like, what? You talked to me for hours about this show. You described entire episodes.
I did do that. I
can't believe you guys didn't like it. I loved BoJack. I thought it was great.
I watched the first season. I thought it was pretty all right.
It was
interesting. It just wasn't, I was like, I'm watching this because it's going to get great. And then I was like, when does it like really, really pick up? And Rob was like, I don't know.
You know, one of the reasons I can't
I got you into Rick and Morty. And you like
you
that?
Did get me into Rick and Morty, and I love Rick and Morty.
I don't remember how I talked about BoJack Horseman, unfortunately. I don't remember like if I was like, you have to watch this, or if I was just in a zone. So
you're telling me about a moment specifically, and then in order to bring context in there, you had to basically describe.
Oh, was it the episode where he was underwater and that thing?
That's a great one.
That was one of the episodes that you referenced, which was a really cool, stylistically, it was a very cool episode.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys know the ending theme song? On BoJack Horseman, you've heard it, right?
I've heard it. I don't remember it offhand. If you sing
it, I wouldn't be able to remember it.
Well, the band that does the ending theme song is called Group Love, and I don't know if I talked to you guys about this
about Group Love specifically.
I was in a band.
That one long weekend you were trying to talk us into.
We got a cabin in Pocono. Oh, is that?
I thought
you're talking
this
about?
Had come up. I used to be a drummer in a
band.
Oh,
it came up.
I played drums in quite a few bands, actually. But one of the bands was called Aloke. And the singer of Aloke is the singer for Group Love. And so he moved to L.A. and he started the band, which was called Group at first. And he was like, hey, you should... leading up to him moving to LA, he's like, you should move to LA and, you know, start this new band, because Aloke broke up suddenly. And I was like, nah. And then like a couple months later, I was in LA drumming with this other band. We were doing a short tour, and I met up with those guys, and the singer Christian gave me a CD of the stuff that they were recording. He's like, the guy who's playing drums on this, we don't know if he's going to be in the band or not. You should still move out here. Here's this CD that he just burned off of his computer. And it was like their first EP that came out that had like all these hits. And because I was like, nah, I'm going to stay in New York. And so
they wound up getting pretty big.
Yeah, Group Love, they played on all the late night shows, Conan and Letterman or whatever.
How many more opportunities to join their band and achieve wild success?
They're actually still asking him if he'll join.
I got a podcast to record.
They're going to be getting their Grammy. Like, Anthony, you got to move out to LA, buddy. I want to thank the music industry for this. And Anthony, you got to move out to LA, man. Our drummer, we don't know him still. We're just like,
we want to thank him for this.
The drummer's up there like, yeah, I don't know. I don't care. I'll leave. You just got to get in here, man.
He's just waiting around for 10 years for me to join the band.
And then we finally know. It's like, fantastic. I've been wanting to go home.
But the hardest thing about, you know, missing out on an opportunity like that is they started to take off right when I first started doing comedy. Mm. So like I was, I don't know if they still are on Facebook, but at the time we were Facebook friends. And so I would come home from doing a bunch of shitty open mics and I'd go look on Facebook and they would be doing festivals. And so it was like all those photos from like behind the band where you see like a million people at a festival. And so I would do an open mic, you know, whichever one, the Eastville mic on a Tuesday. And I'd go home and that's what I would see. And I'd be like, oh yeah, that could have maybe been me.
Is that why you started doing comedy? Because you're like, well, I'm doing something different anyways. That's fine.
Well, actually me starting comedy was kind of coincided with that band breaking up. I was in a few bands at the time, but that was like the band that was probably doing the best.
Mm-hmm.
And so that all of the bands that I was in kind of stopped playing. So I put some stuff on hold just to be in that band. And then, you know, then they broke up and then I had these other projects that were like, you know, I'd sort of given up already. So I was like, maybe I will try stand up.
So it really was just this one guy who was probably a talented fellow who was trying to coax you to move out to LA and just follow him. So it wasn't as signed, sealed, delivered, right? I mean, it would have been kind of a crazy move.
We were starting to work. We were about to start working with this management company, which ended up being the people that he worked with. They wanted to work with him no matter what, but he wanted me and the bass player to move. So essentially it would have just been like the band changed their name.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because the guitar player quit, and then that's why we broke up. But then he wanted to keep playing with us, and just, you know, call it something else.
Did the bass player go out?
He did not. So it's Christian, and then Hannah, his girlfriend, or maybe wife now. I don't know. Girlfriend at the time. She was like always around when we were doing stuff, but she didn't play in the other band. But yeah, so they're, you know.
Well, I'm glad the world has your comedy, to be perfectly honest. So, you know.
So that whole story, was it improvised?
Yes. Well, see you later.
I also have had a near collision with early band success when I was in high school. I played the bass. There was a young drummer who had a band. He's like, we need a bassist, man. Would you be cool to join? And I was in my pretentious music phase, and so I was listening to it. It sounded like, you know, pop, contemporary 90s pop music, and I was just like, this isn't what I'm into, man. I like jazz and Motown.
And Jared played stand-up bass in the orchestra. I don't know. Just like...
Yeah, yeah.
And that drummer's name was Jason Schwartzman, and his band was called Phantom Planet.
What?
The wildly successful Phantom Planet. Here.
You could have been the bass player on the OC theme song.
That's right. California. Doom,
whoa,
doom,
Phantom
doom,
Planet was pretty cool, actually.
You think you can get anybody to play? Doom, 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 doom. Sorry, that's a joke about bassists.
That album that came out after the California song one. Mm-hmm. That one sounded pretty cool. It sounds like the kind of music that maybe would have said yes if their second album was what they
were
working on.
No, I was just an idiot. There was no saying yes at that moment.
Oh,
you know,
man.
I just wanted to be weird.
How deep are you guys into, you know, the chaos theory? I mean, like, you know, I mean, you join the band, none of that happens. That kind of idea, you know.
Yeah.
Well, as or I just learned what the chaos theory is, I'm into it.
Well, but him as the bass player, bass players don't matter. They would have been successful.
Right.
Like,
right.
Can you
right.
name the bass player in Phantom Planet?
I thought it was Jarrett Bernstein, to be perfectly honest.
What if
Jason Schwartzman doesn't even know his name?
Do you even know the bassist's name? And I'm like over here just like, no, I really don't. But meanwhile, there's like a dartboard with your picture
on it. Who knows that guy? Every night. Doom, 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 doom.
I definitely don't know where his apartment is. And I definitely don't have a little stakeout area set up with cameras.
Oh, God. It's
funny. Do you keep in touch? Slip up so I can sneak in there.
You keep in touch with Jason Schwartzman?
I don't. Oh. It's been so long. And he became successful doing movies and stuff. And he just exited the high school. He would pop in every once in a while, but he was basically just like gone. But we were at one point, because we were
also because he graduated.
It's frowned upon if you keep coming.
It's actually really weird when he'd come back. That was actually more weird than when he would.
He's in like physics class. You're like, what are you doing here, man?
Just trying not to forget my roots. You know, I know I'm successful and I graduated, but I'm still good old Jason in room C13. You know, we were in jazz ensemble. We knew each other relatively well. He's one of those people that I could never like reach out to him and be like, hey, what's up? But if I saw him, you know, I'm almost 100% sure that he'd be like, hey, Jared Bernstein.
Would he, though? Because you in high school looked a lot different.
Yeah.
You'd have to be wearing that hat with the ponytail.
Yeah. Where's the giant Bugs Bunny t-shirt? I don't know. Who are you? What'd you do with the real Jared Bernstein?
Jared Bernstein I knew was wearing a dumb bowler hat.
Anthony, Andrew, that's so great. Brett, did you have any run-ins with early?
Yeah, were you almost in REM or anything?
No, my brother. I don't know the story exactly, but I think I'm pretty sure this is the gist of it. My brother was like down to the last audition between him and Elijah Wood for Radio Flyer, which was the movie that launched Elijah Wood's like gigantic career. And I don't know, but I think my brother probably maybe took the rejection pretty hard. And so he just stopped auditioning for stuff.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Mm-hmm. And now he works for JP Morgan.
Hmm.
So
what a twist.
Yeah. but I want to say, as far as the chaos theory, my mantra in terms of regrets is always, if I had done something differently, I'd be somebody else. So that is, I definitely believe in the chaos theory.
You nailed it.
The other part is that I have a lot of self-love, so I like love myself. And so, yeah, that's an important aspect of that.
You guys remember that movie Mr. Destiny with Jim Belushi that explores this exact thing? He's like, what if I just hit that baseball in my high school game? I would have been a hero instead of a
great movie.
A disappointment. I don't know if it's a great movie, but
did he get to redo it?
No, he basically meets like a mystical Michael Caine who basically just like flips a switch and is like, all right, now you're in your life if you had hit it.
And was it much different?
It was much different. It was better in a lot of ways. Like he was more successful. He had a different, hotter wife and stuff like that. But he realized like he wasn't happy. His best friend wanted to was like really depressed and he missed his best friend and stuff like that. And he just was in the wrong social circles and stuff like that. What and it's at best, that's where I learned my life philosophy. Was that movie?
Mr. Disney.
I like that. Did you ever watch The Butterfly Effect?
I did.
Ashton Kutcher? I did not.
I enjoyed that movie.
I liked it at the time. I haven't
it
seen
was flawed,
it,
so. For
it
sure.
It was flawed, but it was still an enjoyable movie.
But what if it wasn't? That's a movie. That's a movie I
want to
see.
Ashton, we got to remake Butterfly Effect.
It's the Snyder Cut.
For a while, I would always try to make a thing where I would try to convince people that I didn't know the correct expression when you make an ass out of you and me. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I would say that, I would go, no, you assume. And every time you assume, you make an ass out of yourself. But anyways, guys, we were having a great catch up here. But we got to do a show.
We have a show
to do. The show.
I do have one more joke, though. One more joke about it. I'm so glad that Anthony has chosen to do comedy over playing drums, but I wonder if his drum playing was as esoteric and weird as his comedy is. And I really hope it'd be great if they're just like, why'd that kid replace a snare drum with temple blocks? I don't get what he's doing. He's like, hey man, he's doing something different. All right.
There's a full on drum set, but Anthony is playing the ground.
I am
what
literally
is he doing?
I'm literally playing the ground right now.
I was gonna say he's like slapping two sandwiches together.
Wow, this guy's reinventing drumming.
Okay, our order today is Anthony, Rob, Brett, and Jarrett.
Collage solo.
Anthony, Rob, Brett, and Jarrett.
Oh, man.
Anthony, I wanted Robert. To see how I could play the song with as fewest beats as possible.
It's more about the beats you don't
play. Exactly.
Okay. It would be funny if now my going into my turn, it's like, so dating, right? Men and women are different. What do you guys think? Is that anything?
I sure wish airplane food was better.
I have a couple of short, dumb ideas that I don't know if they're funny.
It'd be weird if you were real confident about those after describing that as short and dumb.
Short and ideas.
Dumb ideas work. That are really good, and you guys are going to love them.
Blow your dicks off.
So I wrote two versions of the same kind of joke, really. So I'll just tell you both of them, and you tell me what you think.
We'll tell you which one's which.
Yeah. Living in the moment is nostalgia for people who are too impatient to wait.
I like
and
it.
And nostalgia is living in the moment for people who are always late.
I like the first version. Yeah. I would do fewer words though, so I think it would be nostalgia is living in the moment is nostalgia for impatient people. That feels a little bit more elegant to me.
Living in the moment is nostalgia for people who are too impatient to wait. Right, that was the original.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is longer, but there is a.
It had a little flair to it that I, you know, like...
Say the original version again.
Living in the moment is nostalgia for people who are too impatient to wait.
I think I enjoy the balance of setup to punchline, even though it's longer. I don't find it to be inelegant, is my point.
And I'm not sure exactly why I... Because I'm sure that I realized I could have made it a little shorter. But I think maybe it's one of these things where I just wanted to make it clear that if you wait, you can experience that at a later time. I try to shorten these weird ideas, and then people are like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right,
like
right. People.
Yeah, people. But yeah, maybe I could change the wording. It's interesting, though, because on Twitter, so I tweeted both of these, and the second one is did slightly better. But I
oh, so what do you need us for?
Well,
if you're just tweeting these out and looking at your retweets and favorites, I mean,
our attitude towards Anthony's Twitter is the same attitude that we have towards Rob's other writing group. Ryan just has Twitter, you know.
But I also liked the first one more.
Yeah, impatient to wait has wait is a perfect end word for a joke. It's quick. It's got a sharp consonant at the end. Impatient to wait. That doesn't phonetically. The sound of that is not good to me. But I do enjoy wait as the last word.
Well, I can see I'm outvoted here. I guess I'll leave.
What was your version, yeah. Jarrett?
But we can come up with more reasons why we don't like your suggestion.
Wait, no, I want to hear.
Yeah, I want to hear a version.
I think it was.
Boom.
I'm so bored.
We're a bunch
Someone
of impatient
do a Snyder
people.
Cut of Jarrett's version.
I'm listening.
Living in the moment is nostalgia for impatient people.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, people is not a good punchline word for me.
Yeah, maybe that was what it was. Was that people feels like a strange word to end on.
Or maybe living in the moment is nostalgia for
people who are impatient.
People who are impatient, yeah.
Could be that. It could be if you're
people
impatient.
Who can't wait.
Hmm. Oh,
people
yeah.
Who can't wait.
Living
clean.
In the moment is nostalgia for people who can't wait. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, we did it, guys. That also works. And it keeps all the things.
All right, now tweet that and tell us which one does the best.
That's funny. I like a tweet series where you are slowly crafting and getting the joke shorter and better. That's kind of cool. I was actually going to say, I don't know if you can go by how well it does on Twitter, because part of the reason I liked the second one was because I already heard the first one and I was like, oh, this is fun. He's like doing it again.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't see the second one?
I did. I think I saw both, but I liked the second one because I was like, oh, he's
oh,
doing
oh,
it again.
Right. Oh, okay. You he's saw like, the first one. You're like, oh, that's fine. And then I did the other one. You're like, oh, okay. Now.
Well, yeah, because now it's a thing. Now it's like, oh, this is part of a series.
Rob, right. What Rob was liking was your process. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
your
yeah,
creative
yeah.
process.
I didn't realize.
Which I don't know why Twitter doesn't add that button. I've been emailing them.
Creative process.
Exactly. It's like, comment, retweet. I'm enjoying your creative process.
Yeah, that was the reason I didn't laugh at first, is because I saw it on Facebook and I enjoyed it quite a bit then, but it wasn't novel to me. Okay. I would like a tag at the end of that if you can give an example of somebody.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's always what my problem is. I never give something that people can relate to with these. I'm like, what? You don't understand this concept? I'm moving on.
Yeah, I kind of want to see like an act out of like a type A, you know, maybe like a Wall Street bro who's like, I got to get to my nostalgia, man. Mm. You know, I don't have time for it or something like that.
Yeah. What is the final form that we have it in right now?
Living in the moment is nostalgia for
people who can't wait. Was that right?
People who can't wait. Living in the moment is nostalgia for people who can't wait.
Life is this is just such a great moment. Remember now. That's I don't think that's quite it, but it's you know, somewhere that's like the kind of tag that I want. That's the follow up. Yes.
Well, on Anthony's Facebook page, on both posts, I commented, I remember when you posted this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that was, I forgot.
That's what about, can you believe you how we're that. Dressed right now?
Can you believe our haircuts?
That's great. I like that.
What about, like, older dudes who are like, hey, it may seem rough now, but you're going to look back and realize this is the best time of your life. You're like, can you just like give me a second to appreciate it? I can't. Just because you're having your nostalgia now doesn't mean I can have it now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You got to pump the
brakes.
That's
funny. A mirror is like a photograph for people who live in the moment. I don't know. I'm trying to think. What is a mirror?
Like,
so you look at yourselves right now.
I like where you're going with it though.
How do you look at a mirror and go, oh, wow, look at us. Look at how
if you want to be
look at how young and old and now we are.
If you want to be technical, Rob. The
look
light
at how
is...
now we are. Remember how now we were?
Oh, are you going to go with how long it takes the light to reflect back? Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah,
I like that.
You are looking at the past.
Yeah, that's true.
If only distant planets could see themselves the way that we see them. You know,
oh, yes.
Like where we're seeing what's going on a distant
in the past.
Planet. It would be really nice for them.
So we're nostalgic for planets, and they don't even exist probably anymore.
Yeah, a good number of them.
I feel like probably there are people who, you know, in America's height as a country, when we were one of the best. If that ever existed.
There's like a 3 or 4 year period there. Yeah,
yeah, I'm sure we had a month or two. When people came to America because it was the land of opportunity, when there was a little bit less wealth inequality, I imagine that that's probably like the experience that maybe we would have if we went to one of those planets. We're like, wow, it's beautiful. And then we get there, we're like, what the hell?
It's just lava everywhere.
It was great until Jeff Bezos bought all of everything.
Call him Jeff Bezos?
There's a Jeff Bezos on every...
Is it Bezos?
Is it Bezos?
I think it's Bezos, yeah.
Hmm. Maybe I call him Bezos because I wish he would mind his beeswax.
Mm, that could be it, Jarrett.
We'll edit that out.
Could you edit in me saying that a bunch of times?
In Jarrett's defense, he didn't want it to come out of his mouth as it was coming out of his mouth. You could see that.
Facts. Accurate.
You guys remember the time that Jarrett said that joke?
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like you did launch into that sentence without an exit strategy.
No,
maybe
I
call him Bezos, and I was like, he doesn't have an end to this sentence. I did,
but I wasn't sure if it made sense. Even as I was like, I could say beeswax. And I was, as I was saying it, I was still trying to figure out if it was going to be well received or mocked. And I was correct.
I've got it. Okay. Well, I call him Jeff Bezos on that planet because that planet is run by bees.
Jeff Bezos.
That's why we want to go there, because they're bees. They still have bees.
Oh yeah, we don't have them.
Ours are going extinct. Mm.
This is not so much a joke idea, but I just think it's kind of a cool concept. Like the way that people can be obsessed with nostalgia, the way that people can be so focused on their past or the country's past or whatever. If there was a way for us to instantaneously jump, you know, millions of light years away, you could theoretically look into a telescope and see the old version of Earth that you are obsessed with, you know, and in a sci-fi, potential sci-fi universe, like that could be a thing that would happen.
You could look back, mm-hmm. but you would have to be, you couldn't be. But could you be there, or you're just looking at it?
No, you need to teleport. You would see yourself. You would see yourself living, you know.
What if you had a friend on a really distant planet, mm-hmm. and you could, and they had a really powerful telescope, and they could tell you, like, oh, who really shot JFK and stuff like that?
That would be cool.
Information cannot be shared. I mean, if we're going to get into the physics of this. You could see things, but our nows are not the same as their nows.
So it's physically impossible for me to hear this guy, but I could still be friends with him. That's where you take issue with with us relaying data.
Well, yeah, just because you're a different time than another person doesn't mean you can't be friends with them.
Because you can't communicate with them.
That's racism,
in any way.
You know.
You can admire him from afar by looking at, because he's, you know, he's a million years old and he's dead now, but you can look at him and go,
but you're
oh,
looking
cool.
at our light particles that are currently traveling to you.
Now, if you're both able to live for millions of years, I'm fine with that, because then you can potentially look at him as a baby. And then if you live for a very long time, he could potentially also look at you at a younger age.
Yeah, haven't you ever seen a baby and be like, I really want to be friends with this baby. This baby looks cool as shit.
I don't want to communicate with the baby.
I'm saying that we can look at a planet as it was a million years ago, and that planet can look at us as we were a million years ago. So the only thing that would have to happen is you'd have to be able to live, both of you'd have to live long enough for you to have a mutual respect and admiration for each other, though you will never... you could meet. You could actually physically meet, but you would not be able to influence each other's.
Which I will argue is there's some, if you can exchange information in some way, there are ways to create kinship and friendship. I was playing Apex Legends, and my teammate did not speak any English except for when our other teammate ran off in a really really intense time and got himself killed, and he went stupid. That was the only English he spoke. But then at the end, it was down to me and one other guy out of 60 players, and I ran out of ammo and I just started punching him, and I got the win just like barely, you know, by just the tiniest hair. And the ridiculous way in which I won, me and the guy who only spoke Spanish just started laughing together, even though we hadn't spoken the whole time, really. And it was like a nice connection, even though we couldn't really, you know, communicate.
I think that awesome. Einstein talked about that in his unified theory, how Apex Legends is where the intersection of large systems and small systems can communicate their different physical elements.
What if there was in a science Quiet, fiction
Anthony.
Situation?
Anthony, are you?
I gave a long pause. I was.
I'll let you finish the thought.
What if there was in a science fiction situation a way to communicate faster than light could travel?
Well, then there's a lot of rules that go out the window. If there's faster than light travel, time travel is possible. What's it called? Causation goes out the window because it's impossible to know if event A caused event B or if event B caused event A, which is kind of tough. So my friend
killed JFK.
Right. Having an upper limit to the speed by which any information could travel actually does set some pretty good rules. The only reason I was taking issue with that one particular thing is because the idea that you and your friend could live for billions of years, possible. I'm not going to say it's impossible in the laws of physics. And the idea that you guys could eventually travel to each other one day and meet up, totally possible. And the idea that you could have super powerful telescopes and see how each other behaved in the past, okay. Not outside the realm of possible physics, just outside the realm of current technology. However, as far as we're aware, we cannot travel faster than the speed of light, and we cannot affect the past based on that. So that was the only rule I was setting.
And I'm just wondering if all of this stuff should go in the beginning or end of my joke.
I knew it.
If you could end that with weight.
A good shout.
Good Maybe sound. Like a comedy K. Those are good also.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait.
Cosmic.
Oh, if you could call Rob a dork at the end of that.
Apex. Apex Legends. Apex.
Is that called a comedy K? is that what you call it? Comedy K?
Yeah, comedy K is a thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Audiences... No, go ahead, Rob. Do the bit. I'll tell the actual thing.
I'm starting to get nostalgic for helping Anthony with his jokes.
If we were on a planet, if we were on the moon, we could definitely look through a telescope and see when Anthony started his joke.
Remember that? That was fun.
And now it's up to Rob Ryan. Rob Ryan's turn.
Yay! All right, we got through it.
Wait, but didn't Brett have something to say?
I was going to answer your question. Yeah, comedy K is like if you have two words that mean the same thing, and one of them ends with like, let's say, like an L-E, like people, and one of them ends with a hard K, the audience will always laugh much harder at the hard K.
Okay.
And Rob Ryan.
All right. I have a joke idea that I've told you, Anthony, before. And I don't know. I've tried it, I think, a few times. I never really made it work. But sometimes I will be watching the news and I recognize... or maybe reading an article, and I recognize that I have gotten into a news story too late. And it's too much. I can't go back and try to piece together all the things. Like, I'll pop open an article, and it'll start with, like, you know, the fighting continues in Beirut. And I'm like, oh, God. I'm there's no way. And they don't do a very good job of filling. They just keep on going. And I'm just like, I don't know where you started this. It's like jumping right in the middle of a series. I'm just like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what the sides are.
Who's good? Who's bad? Yeah. I don't know.
I love this so much.
And I just wish that the news would do a slightly better job of just catching me up, like comic books even try. Or they put like a little page and they just, all right, this is who Superman is. Here you go. So just do that, you know, like I just want like a previously on the news, just one little, just previously on the news, and then a couple of flashes to get me back up to current speed, you know? I think that'd be really fun. It'd be fun to clip together too. You show a bunch of things, and then you have like one little clip of Osama bin Laden, and you're like, is Osama in this episode of the news? Is he coming back? This is cool. I have to watch. I gotta watch it now. That's most of it.
I feel like... a lot of it will just like, if you can just keep going back, you have to go back farther and farther until it, like, we're in like, you know, some kind of the roots of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict.
Previously on the news, 1908.
Previously on the news, a serpent comes up with an apple.
I like that.
That's great. But shows do that. Like sometimes Breaking Bad would go like so far into the past.
Yeah, like it was season like one, they pull a clip from.
Yeah, or sometimes even before any, you know, high school or something, you know, like, but like years before the show starts, you know, like a real flashback, but they're doing it in the.
Yeah. I noticed them doing that on Game of Thrones. It was really weird. It was like, it seemed like audience members were a little confused as to how something transpired. And then on the previously on, they edited in such a way to like point out like, oh, this was important. And you're like, I think it was that important. Like, you're making it important now. They did that towards the, on the last season, I remember.
On the second to last season of that, my dad, in like, just a guy who, he can't follow a show, you know, three episodes ago, if it's been more than a week. So he's like totally losing track of somebody. Has not watched one episode of Game of Thrones. I think me, my brother, and my sister were watching like second to last season, big finale episode. Daenerys comes in on a dragon, and my dad walks in and goes, oh, is she the good guy? Dad, no, we're not doing this.
Oh, that's really funny. Yeah, it was actually, I remember it was Daenerys, because like in the episode when they like flipped her and she just went crazy pants, I guess. In the like previously on, they like stitched together every little potential mention of maybe why a Targaryen would go crazy.
Oh, yeah,
and I'm watching it. I was like, it's pretty weak. They're really like, you know, Targaryens are bad sometimes. They're like, oh yeah. Remember in season two, I said that once. And I was like, I don't think this episode is going to be very good.
did they show her brother murdering somebody? From season one?
Yeah, they did a couple of things. Several things to make it seem like this was the narrative they were pushing the whole time. And I was like, I don't know.
You're like, did Fox News edit this?
That's really funny.
In the bit, Rob, I kind of want you to do that thing where, like what your dad did, like, oh, is that the good guy? Only you could do something like, you know, I feel like I'm coming in on season five, like, Israel, is that the good guy? And people are like, I mean, it's complicated, you know.
It's like Jamie Lannister.
Season
like,
one, it kind of was, you know. But...
he's got a great, what's it called? Redemption arc.
We hope that Israel has a great redemption arc. It's become kind of an anti-hero now.
What about when somebody who doesn't watch sports comes in and they're like, oh, who are we rooting for? Like, which team are we?
Well, this is Afghanistan in the 80s, so we're rooting for them right now. The Mujahideen seem like they're doing really good.
I love this concept. This is there's so much room here. This is hilarious.
This is obviously a very Jarrett angle, but like, it's a really easy way to tell who's a Republican, because when you ask a Democrat, like, who's the good guy, they're like, well, it's complicated because all these relationships and everything. The Republican would just be like, the white person.
My dad acts like that. I started watching The Americans with him, and he just has this such weirdly like black and white view of all these TV shows. And we also watched Homeland, and Homeland was even more, I mean, Americans is a little... whatever, it's like a rip basically of Homeland with a flip, but Homeland was like really nuanced, really well done, cool, like, oh yeah, I see where they're going wrong. And my dad was like just so black and white, like, oh, that guy's bad, oh, he's acting so bad. And I'm like, what? Is it because he's not like in America specifically? He's just the bad guy. Well, Carrie's good. And the other guy's bad. I'm like, yeah, but they're doing really horrible things in this country. And, you know, they're calling a lot of us rest and the espionage. Yeah, but look at these guys, are some bad people. I mean, look how bad they are.
This reminds me of my mom and my dad both got called in for jury duty around the same time. Mm-hmm. And my dad has always been like very big on like, you know, I remember hearing my dad talk about this before, where he's like, you know, I feel like I'd be a really good juror because, you know, I really believe in objectivity, you know, like blah, blah, blah. And because of that, my dad got put in a double murder trial that lasted for like a year and a half.
Whoa.
My mom got excused on day one. And when she came back, she goes, as soon as this kid came in, I knew he was guilty. had the hat on backwards. He had the baggy pants. And I was like, I can't believe they excused you, mom.
Wow. That is really funny.
I was going to say before that, based on Rob and Brett, it seems like having a dad is real weird. I honestly, I don't know if it's for me.
Like there's there's some potential there, Anthony. I don't know how much you talk about your dad on stage, but that's pretty funny.
Because it is a little weird that there's like this future version of you that just is so lame. I don't want to know.
Well, it's they like, weren't always lame. They just get lame.
Slowly yes. turn into it.
Yeah.
But do you want to know how you're going to be lame?
I want to know how I'm going to not be lame by seeing how it's happening to them.
Yeah. It remains to be seen.
Yeah.
We are just inextricably on a path towards that or not.
Yeah. I mean, it may be something that's completely out of our control. We might be doing this podcast like, I had a roast beef sandwich today.
We've gone from making fun of talking about lunch to that's the only thing that we talk about. Brent's trying to tell a joke. Just tell us about the pastrami sandwich.
And we meet for Thursday at 4 for bridge.
Welcome to Is This a Pastrami Sandwich?
You guys know Patton's bit about this, where he's like, I want to be a lame parent because when you are a cool parent, then you raise like really lame children because they have to rebel against how cool you are. That's why when I become a parent, the most current album I'm going to have is Phil Collins' No Jacket Required. I'd be like, you kids like rock? I got some rock and roll here for you.
That's funny.
That's really funny.
And Brett Druck, everybody.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't know. That was a bit. If we had more stuff for Rob's joke, you know.
Yeah, anybody else have anything?
Because I don't.
Rob?
I love your thoughts. I would like to continue to tinker. You've kind of given me permission to continue to go down that path and think about how many little things that I could do. So I'll work on it and maybe bring it back to you guys.
Yeah, I would say adding to it more than subtracting anything because it felt tight and just very, the concept is so great.
It's also relatable. I mean, I definitely have that experience.
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, when you guys laughed at the moment that I was hoping you would, which is just like, you know, fighting continues. You're like, oh, God. I'm already in over my head.
So continues? Oh, no.
It's the first I'm hearing about it.
Yeah. I've had that feel like a bunch of times. I'm like, should I research this?
Yeah, well, what's going on?
I've had that experience with when people are like, oh, this show is so good. And I'm like, oh, really? And they're like, yeah, we're the season four is just like so great. I'm like, oh, season four.
Rob, do you think there's any way to tie this into your joke about watching superhero movie trailers, you know, where it's like, you know, someone who's like in on the news, you know, will read a line and it's like Mitch McConnell blocked the effort and they're just like, of course.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, is that like what he does? I don't understand.
Yeah, we don't like him very much. He's not a good guy.
You know what I always loved and wish was a real thing was in Starship Troopers, they always had this thing on the news that was like, would you like to know more? And then you would click and it would just tell you more information.
Oh, that's cool.
And I always like was, I think about that all the time. I'm like, that would be great.
Yeah. Cause like sometimes they'll link to other articles, but that's a little nuts. You know,
yeah.
I would wish that it was just like a paragraph that just.
Yeah. Instead of would you like to know more? And it's like, would you like to make us more ad revenue?
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Great. Cool. Yeah. I've rejuvenated some joy in that joke, so I think I'll work on that more. Thanks, guys.
There may be something with that in a recap of like a small joke about, you know, having to skip an ad.
Oh.
I miss I missed that.
There may be something, some kind of ad joke in there. If they were to have a recap on the news, there would have, there would, you know, maybe if you were to in some way add like a little, you know, skip an ad thing. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe it's somewhere in there. There's a room for an ad joke.
Oh yeah.
But, not as it doesn't feed into the meat of the joke, but just as a little addition.
But do you specify that it's when you're reading an article? Because I feel like this also works for just watching the TV news, you know, when it's an article or when you're watching something. Like, it's not clear whether you're how you're consuming the news.
But
it's
right. I guess once I get into the the television joke, it would be that I'm watching the news and we start and it's previously on the news and then I'm catching up. And yeah, I do want to kind of hit all of the fun bullet points that exist on a serialized TV show and the things that you miss and the characters that come back because you just see like an image of them. You're like, oh, that character's coming back. Oh, that's cool. And all that little stuff for sure. Yeah. So I guess at that point it'd be watching the news. Awesome. All right, Jarrett, take it away.
Oh wait, what? One last yeah. Tag. Wasn't he in something else?
That's great.
Where do I know him from?
He bombed the UN.
No, that's not it. No, that's definitely.
There was a whole government shutdown spinoff that they did, and he was heavily involved in that.
I think it was Mean Girls.
Yeah.
I think that's where. Yeah, it was Mean Girls. That's right.
I mean, that's sort of a reference for the super fans, you know?
Didn't I see him on The Apprentice? Yes, that's right.
Apprentice is a great one.
Excellent.
Wait, oh, he was that guy in Home Alone.
Home Alone 2. Home Alone 2,
that's it. That's right.
Is he from wrestling? Is he
was a wrestler, I'm pretty sure.
All right. Next up, we got Brett Druck. But before we do that, just want to remind everybody to check out.
I just had one more. No, sorry.
Want to remind everybody to check out our Patreon. We got a lot of cool exclusive comments, a lot of exclusive content on there. We also got some new Patreon benefits like discounts to live shows and cool merch that's going to be coming out soon. So check that out, patreon.com/ITAPod. And now, Brett Druck.
Again, I had all that time.
Still nothing.
I have been working out through the pandemic, which is really helps me feel a little bit more safe when I'm walking alone at night, because I know if I'm attacked, I can like slowly lift my attacker and put them back down while they stab me.
I love that. That's great.
I want to do something with like a weightlifting injury, just like a little tense in my shoulder because I got mugged this weekend.
Somebody comes to attack you, you're like, hold on, you start putting on gloves.
You're stretching.
Yeah,
I don't want to pull anything.
Let's get the old get the back brace thing on. You're like, just get my leg.
Can I get a spot?
How much do you weigh? He's like 160. Could you hold a couple of these textbooks here?
And then,
because I've been, I'm up to 180 now. About.
And then when you're done, you wipe them. You wipe them off.
Someone comes up to the same person who's mugging you. It's like, are you in the middle of a set right now?
Are you done with him?
I got like one more set.
Just
like
two more steps.
Can I jump in?
Three. He's almost got all my money. If okay.
Maybe that's how I get out of the mugging, is like somebody comes over, they're like, you're doing that all wrong. Here, let me show you.
That's how you save a girl from getting mugged.
Gotta keep
you walk over to the girl, you're like, ah, hold on, let me show you.
Is there room in this universe for a personal trainer, like somebody who tries to sell you on lifting the robber better?
But it costs more money, and you're not sure.
You lose more money than if you had just given the robber your wallet if you sign up for the personal trainer.
And they sell it to you as a package. Right? Is that how they do it? It's like a year of classes or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They give you a free gym bag.
All I got was this lousy t-shirt.
I do always enjoy the out of shape personal trainers, which is just like, it's like, listen, I know how to do this properly, but I don't.
I do not want to.
Oh, so you have a membership at Planet Fitness?
I know how to do all these workouts, but I'm just really not motivated. Oh, well, I'm a life coach, so why don't we do like a
barter system?
I like that joke a lot, Brett. I think it's really funny.
The one tag I had is, which is...
Okay, are we all ready? Do you want to go on to Jared? unless you guys got something else. Okay, good. Yeah.
Didn't realize that my bit had hit a sensitive spot there.
I just thought that would also be funny. We're three minutes in.
I like it.
Rob, is there anything wrong with the bit from a physics standpoint?
You lift him up, you put him down.
If you lifted him up into a wormhole that placed him on a planet that was a million light years away, would he still be able to get his reps in?
As long as entropy continues to increase throughout, that's fine. That's the second law of thermodynamics that Anthony taught us. If you want to do this right, okay?
Yeah, that's the first law of thermodynamics, or law one, as he calls it.
And if you're confused about what we're talking about, this is a reference to Patreon episode and Dumber that we have.
This is a reference to a Patreon app, guys. Brett, what was the tag you were saying? You're saying?
Yeah, like, join our Patreon, guys.
So I find exclusive
comments.
There are exclusive comments on the Patreon, all right? There are.
That's true.
Holy shit, you're ripping into Jared today.
The tag that I had, which is kind of an offshoot of another joke, which I'd be happy to kind of steal its essence for this joke if it worked, was like, oh yeah, I'm talking about gains, baby. This knife in my side, that's a gain. That's one gain right there.
Bleeding everywhere. Gains, man, gains. I mean, it would sort of be like losing weight, maybe, but that's not really the goal of like heavy lifting, I guess.
Yeah, no, you wanna put on muscle, but in this case, yeah. I'm putting on knife.
Metal in your, yeah. in
your
body.
Oh, maybe there's something with muscle, metal.
Are those stretch marks? Ah, they're stab wounds.
You're getting so cut.
Dude, I'm shredded. Yay. I'm ripped.
And now we can move on to
that joke.
You are getting so cut. Yeah, you're shredded.
Oh, that's great. What a great little tag.
I really got to hand it to us. we are funny today.
Yeah, if you guys have anything else, otherwise we can move on to old Jer-Bear.
Are you sure we only did 5 minutes of your stuff?
Yeah,
we're getting really efficient. Bing, what do you got?
We also talked about the Snyder
Cut. End it with a K. All right, what do you got? End it with the word weight. All right, what do you got?
We talked about the Snyder Cut for longer than the Snyder Cut.
There it is. I was trying to get out.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
I've heard of word economy, but this is ridiculous.
The word economy is booming.
Stonks. Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Stonks. What is that?
It's like stonks. It's what the Reddit Wall Street bets community calls stocks.
Okay.
There's a meme associated with it. It's weirdly funny and entertaining to look at. It's just like a picture of like a chart going up and then like a silhouette, kind of like a avatar-ish type person and like a mouth open, and it just says stonks.
I get it. Weirdly funny.
That's
a common trend in memes, is like just somebody kind of like saying something wrong, being bad at it.
Yeah.
One of I don't normally enjoy, you know, political memes and stuff, but one of my favorite was it was Donald Trump, Ivanka, Donald Trump Jr., and I think Barron all holding shovels, and then Donald Trump Jr. is holding his shovel backwards, and the caption was just shumvel.
That's great.
Even holding it from the spade part?
He was, yeah, he, like, the handle was down. Like, they were all doing it normally. And oh, he had the handle. I think it was Photoshopped. I don't think it was real, but it still was great.
Very rarely is a meme funny by just having it described to you.
Yeah.
And this one is.
Shumble.
What other memes?
Ooh, you guys no, I actually had another idea.
You want to use the rest of your time for this?
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to end my time early.
My time.
We're talking about memes.
We'll do what I want. Are there other situations like not being mugged, but other situations where, you know, we sort of equate working out and being thick with being able to protect yourself? You know, like maybe you're on a date and some guy starts hitting on your girl, or, you know, getting into a bar fight or something.
I had another joke. This is kind of a combination of jokes that I've tried and have worked pretty well, but I didn't just love. One of my other jokes was I did gymnastics for 5 years, competitive gymnastics until I was 14. And so, it's incredible.
Because that's when Frisbee took over.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
It puts you in incredible shape doing gymnastics competitively. So if ever there's like a fight at a bar or something, a guy comes at me, I could just wow him with a somersault and then become best friends.
Did you really take gymnastics?
Yeah. I did competitive gymnastics till I was 14.
What the fuck?
We're learning a lot about ourselves.
It was something that my dad got for me as a gift. He doesn't have a dad. That was the joke. He was like, having a dad's weird. You know,
I didn't register as a joke to me because I don't know what a dad gift should even be.
If it makes you feel any better, if I told my dad about your dad, he'd probably be like, that sounds like a bad guy. He sounds bad.
Are you talking about my dad or Anthony's dad?
Anthony's dad.
Oh, okay, yeah. That made more sense, but for a second I was like, is he talking about my dad? Because it's really easy to make Rob's dad think somebody's a bad guy.
You can't really call him if being a dad was a college class, he would just get an incomplete. You know? So it's hard to say if he's...
I feel like he did give it the old college try. I think he put in like 4 years. And then...
and then he was like...
And then he dropped out.
I graduated.
Oh, man. He was one credit really short.
Wow, that's good. Holy shit.
Is that about the time frame? I feel like it's...
Yeah, it was four.
Roughly right. Yeah.
It's great because I feel like I have more notes about material about my dad being dead than whatever I brought up today about nostalgia. It's like, yeah, that's pretty good.
We have the whole thing with the planet.
But I have some substantial notes about funny dead dad things.
I like just, the old college try.
Oh, it's classic. Love that.
Well, that'll do it for Anthony. Now it's Rob.
Time's an illusion.
Should we move on, boys?
I'm ready to move on if you guys
are ready to move on.
Ready to move on.
Yeah. I'm ready to move on.
All right. All right, so here's what I got. My fiance makes me watch a lot of murder documentaries, and I saw this one where they're investigating a missing woman, and the second the husband opens his mouth, everybody's like, oh, he definitely killed his wife. Okay, case closed, he did it. Don't worry, sir, we're going to find your wife. Alexa, order body bags. But here's the crazy thing is that the detectives know instantly that this guy did it. But they want to string him along to get information, so they have to pretend to continue solving the crime around him. They have to pretend like they don't know this guy killed his wife and search the house for evidence. Like, did your wife have any mob ties? Any mob ties on your wife? Any powerful enemies that might have broken in here? Maybe a gangland slaying? You think this might have been a gang thing? And then they don't even ask him until hours later about his involvement, just because they're like, okay, listen here. One last question, just for the paper pushers upstairs, you know, you're a good guy. Just, I don't want to get in trouble. Okay. I have to ask, did you kill your wife? and then there's like this one part, I don't know if it would fit earlier or it'd fit afterwards. Just be like, honestly, based on all these murder documentaries, it really seems like men are the most dangerous thing that women can. I don't think women should be with men. We're so dangerous. Women, the best that you can hope for being with a man is that he kills someone for you.
Oh, that's right. That's good.
That's what I got. What do you guys think?
It's great. There's a lot there in a few different directions. The first funny point is the Alexa order the body bags. I feel like you can go a little further with that. How does it go right now?
Let's see here. The second the husband opens his mouth, everybody's like, he definitely killed his wife. Okay, case closed. He did it. Oh, don't worry, sir. We're going to find your wife. Alexa, order body bags.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I want to see the detective like trying to play it cool, but like a little giddy a little bit more.
Can I see an example? Like, what are you thinking of?
Where he's kind of like, I can't, but I do want to see that play out a little bit more. I feel that avenue is not completely closed before you move on to the next point.
Would he order the body bags through, like, wouldn't, isn't that somebody's job that he'll just be like,
yeah, I know.
Grab the body bag. Like, he just calls out to somebody.
Hey, Aaron, can you order some more body bags? You definitely need them. Yeah. Yeah, Alexa is not something that they have at the police station. Yeah, You're right.
I was confused. Is the body bag for the dead wife?
No, it's because they're going to use a body bag, so they're going to need more body bags. They're at least using one more, so maybe they need more is basically what I'm saying.
And then the body bag guy is like, we're going to need some backup. I don't know.
I guess I got a little confused. I laughed because I recognized the structure of it, but then the words themselves actually threw me because I was like, wait, the body. So the wife is presumed missing, but they know she's dead.
Yeah.
But then they also know they're gonna find her and then use her body for a body bag, which would require them to order more body bags.
Like that's the last body bag? They're waiting till they use it to order more?
What I'm saying is if they're going to call for something, even the body bag is a very funny word.
Can you make sure that we have a body bag in the car?
Yeah. Something like that.
Although the idea of somebody, it's somebody's job to order the body bags, and they're like, I don't know why it always has to be me. I'm not going to order. They're like, I'm going to wait and see what happens. And then they run out of body bags. And I just love the concept.
Working at a restaurant.
Maybe he's hoping that he didn't do it because he forgot to order body bags. He's like, I don't know. This guy seems like a good guy.
Missing person. Sure. I'm sure she'll be back soon.
We really should put up some flyers, I think, instead of going down the body bag route.
I wasn't sure right off the top of the joke where you were going with it because I wanted to know what actually it was. This guy guilty, and I don't think until throughout the entire joke you don't say for sure like it turned out he did it. Like there was part of me that kept being like, oh, is it going to turn out that he didn't do it? This is going to be a joke about how we just assume all men are guilty or something like that. So I would kind of like some finality at some point in the joke as to what actually happens.
Yeah. Okay, I'll work on that. I was also thinking about the giddy angle that you were talking about. Like, maybe the cop is saying something like, and he's like, oh, sweet, we're going to have another solved one by the end of the day. That's great. Or, you know, oh, sweet, no, we're not going to have to order Chinese food and work through the night or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm clocking out early tonight.
Mm-hmm. Hey, honey, I'm definitely going to be able to make your friend's baby shower. okay, and then there's also the detective has to string him along to get information out, so he has to pretend like he's still trying to solve the crime.
Yeah, that one I wanted something maybe a little bit more silly, like he's really reaching. He's like, did your cat ever given like weird looks to your wife? Or
she's like, not it's a like part of really any obvious terrorist cells or anything, or is she?
Yeah.
The cat one, it feels a little too silly, like I haven't earned that yet. Let's see here.
My issue with that portion was that you kept on looking around as if you're, I suppose, trying to gather evidence on him, because you kept on like doing the act out like, yeah, say, is your wife part of a gang in any way? But I couldn't in my brain think about what it is that he's actually doing. So I would think I would want to be more clear on the ulterior motive, what he's actually trying to gather while he is bullshitting. Because I'm not 100% clear on that. Is he trying to fingerprint the house while he's what is the bear trap that he's trying to set?
I mean, to me, it's just like, it registers to me as a very cop show thing that happens. Mm-hmm. You know, like as they're investigating someone, they're always just like, you know, it's yeah. like, so what time does your wife leave this afternoon? You know, and they're just like always yeah. kind of like checking everything in. If that doesn't read, then I'm happy to try to find a different way to do that act out.
It does read to me that mm-hmm. they're taking everything in. It's just that I'm not sure to what end it's happening, because is he stalling for time mm-hmm. or is he actually trying to collect evidence against this guy without making it seem like he's trying to collect evidence against this guy? I was waiting for that shoe to drop like for a long time. I was like, oh, he's going to do the thing. But then it never happened.
Well, what if it was like everything that he does is like finding all of this illegal stuff? You know, he picks up a gun, he's like dipping his finger in cocaine while he's talking. It's like all this kind of stuff where he's just walking around and just crimes are just presenting themselves, and he's like, yeah, probably nothing to worry about here, probably nothing here, but mm-hmm.
yeah, you know, I actually wouldn't mind being walked along with that. It's like, is your wife, you know, he has to pretend like he doesn't already know that it's him while he's collecting evidence in the house, you know, or something. He's like, is your wife involved in any gangs here or whatever? Oh, is that a bag of lime or you know, meanwhile looks out the windows, you know,
really long receipt from Home Depot, that's interesting.
But what I'm more concerned about is yeah.
must have been rope day at the rodeo.
You have a lot of broken vases. That must be, that's an interesting style choice.
Modern art these days.
Yeah, you know, women in their interior decorating. I get it, buddy. I do kind of like that, the playing yeah. it up of the buddy thing. Like, yeah, 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 buddy, yeah, for sure.
But we got to find that missing wife.
Let's find your wife, pal.
She's probably out buying more guns. It looks like all these... Oh, she's buying bullets for all these guns. Looks like you guys are out.
Did she say she was going to come spackle all these bullet holes in the walls?
She's about that. We're going to have her back as fresh as those graves dug in the backyard.
That's excellent. That's excellent.
Oh God, that's good. That is.
And do you like? I'm trying to. I don't know where I can fit in that he like definitely did it. Maybe when I'm like describing it initially.
I think all of that will make it pretty clear. Yeah,
oh, okay.
If you went down that avenue, okay. Yeah, I think it would do it.
But yeah, if you wanted to in the beginning, you'd be like, just so you know, he definitely did do it, and you could tell as soon as he opened his mouth, everyone was like, mm-hmm. he did it. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. We're watching the documentary. We're like, he did it. The cops in the room are like, he did it. Even he is kind of like, oh my God, I'm really fucking it up here.
They're shooting a documentary and everything. They don't spend this. The crew doesn't spend this much time with the guy who didn't do it, right?
I hope this is Amanda Knox situation.
He's like texting his girlfriend at the time. Like, I don't think I'm going to be able to make dinner. This is not looking great for me.
He just thinks the documentary is trying to be very thorough.
And what do you guys
really
think about
talking to everybody here?
What do you guys think about that last part? Because I feel like there needs to be something at the very, very end where it's like they don't even ask him if he did it until hours later. Like, okay, well, there's one last box on the form that I gotta fill out, and it's just for the paper pushers upstairs. You know, I know you're a good guy. So yeah, I have to ask: did you kill your wife?
For that, to me, you're asking a question. I want to hear the answer.
Mm-hmm. Oh. To me, it was enough that it ended there.
Mm-hmm. Did you call your wife?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, I mean, there's like, obviously, like, he could be like, yeah, no, something like that, or...
right.
Or maybe he's so confident that he's like, he's joking around with them. He's like, you got me.
Or maybe
guilty
just...
as charged.
Maybe he just does like a very like, I'm trying to pass a lie detector moment where it's like, did you kill your wife? No. All right, perfect. Sweet. Well, yep. You can go home. We're going to have a couple cops follow you just for safety, just to make sure nothing happens. Whoever took your wife might come back for you. You know?
What if he, like, he's like, oh, okay, so you just have to ask me out of obligation. So I don't really have to answer. Like, he's just kind of like, he's like, so did you kill your wife? He's like, oh, yeah, of course you have to ask that. So I can go now, right?
That's excellent. I love that. I love that. Yep, just as soon as you answer this one last question here, that one that I asked you. Yeah, yeah, I get it. You got to ask that. Do I get my parking validated in here or something?
So what is the overarching point of the joke that these guys, that the way the detectives operate is that they have to tiptoe around, or they tiptoe around in such a obvious way to you, the audience, and that you find that funny?
No, just that I think it's funny that you as the smart thing to do as a police officer is not to be like, I think you did it, you're under arrest, and then start collecting evidence. Mm-hmm. It's to sort of like stretch the process out, ask a lot of questions that you know are not important at all, you know, about the mob ties, about, you know, mm-hmm. do you have any friends who are in ISIS, you know? Any foreign nationals in your immediate friendship circle,
right?
You know, stuff like that.
I guess for me, the ending of just the question of did you kill the wife, I know that you're presenting it and like they don't even ask until the end, mm-hmm. but it seems to me to be more of a punch there's finality to it when after this whole thing happens, and you can spread it out for as long as you want. This could have been over multiple interviews over several weeks. And then at the very end, they finally go like, it's just, you know, the guys upstairs, you know, they have to do this. You're arrested for the murder of your wife and, you know, you're the prime suspect and we're going to keep you, you're a flight risk, so you're not going to get bail. And you're like, oh, God. You're like, yeah.
But did you look into the gangs thing?
So what if it was like, did you kill your wife? And he's like, no. And he's like, okay, great. So... the next part is we put you in handcuffs because you're
that's really funny.
I don't know why this is completely absurd and ridiculous, but I'm imagining these cops just all of a sudden going, oh yeah, one other thing. Live from New York, it's Saturday night. I don't know if that fits anywhere.
It doesn't. But
it's
like
very
it.
Funny. It's very funny. Love.
It never fits anywhere in the Saturday Night Live, so it fits everywhere.
It'd be weird if it fit in this joke since it fits nowhere else.
Yeah.
So that's basically it, unless you guys had any other thoughts for that.
The only thing that I thought of that I didn't like, it wasn't that I didn't like it. It's just that you had like one or two lines where you were talking about how men are the most important thing to, or
the it's most just dangerous that, thing for women.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. just that concept was like, that was a Louis C.K. Premise.
I was thinking about that. Yeah.
And
yeah.
where you went with it was completely different. But mm-hmm. I just.
That's why I was trying to rush past that part. That was like the well-trodden territory.
Yeah.
But.
Mm. Yeah, so I just wish there was a way to get to your point without setting it up in a way that felt similar.
Right.
Maybe instead of it being about men in general, maybe it's just about the women in these documentaries. You know, where it's like, I've seen so many of them, and it's always the husband. It's like the best thing that I can hope for these women is that the guy kills someone for them. Maybe that's not the same punch, though, if I'm talking about it that way.
But I think to me that felt better just because it didn't remind me of anything
Louis C.K. has
else.
A joke just like it.
Yeah. Because then as soon as you said it, I was like, is he just going to do the joke? Does he not
know
the joke?
Yeah.
You know? And so for me, I don't know if audiences get that feeling, but mm-hmm. I always feel uneasy until I'm like, oh, okay, he went somewhere different with this premise.
I have the exact same thing. Yeah.
I wonder if you can like, say it's better for women to like almost fan the flames of some kind of other conflict. Mm-hmm. It's like, make sure you like, you know, really play up an enemy he has. So if he's going to kill somebody, it's that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of fun to, okay. I don't know
or
if
when
this is
he's
going to
kill somebody.
But in this, how did you, it's a murder documentary show?
It's a documentary about, I mean, the premise of the joke is that my fiance makes me watch these all the time, but in truth, we just watched one together and it was engrossing. I was like, I can't believe this is happening. We're watching this guy.
Yeah.
There was so much body cam footage. You're just like watching all this body cam footage of this guy be, you know, the cops are just like, hey, sir, your wife is missing. He's like, hey, cool. Nice to meet you guys. And we're like,
oh, I know who this is. Yeah. I saw this before the documentary came out, and I was like, wow, this is crazy.
This is a guilty as fuck human being.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so what were you going to ask, Rob?
That in these, okay, if the premise is that your fiance makes you watch these murder documentaries, maybe the truth of this is, and I don't actually know if this is technically true, but it's just always the husband. It's always the husband. And it's remarkable how they still try to make the documentary interesting, even though we all know that it's going to be the husband. We're like, yeah, it's the husband, right? It's probably the husband. So that could solve two problems for me, where it's like, now we are just talking about murder documentaries, so that when you get to the end of the joke and you get to that part, you're like, I always feel bad for these women in the murder documentaries because, you know, the best I can hope for is that maybe her husband's murdering somebody else for her, you know, because it was always the husband. And then it also sets the tone right for the beginning part of it being like, this is the premise of it. It's the fact that I know it's the husband, but the show. So maybe you could say that the show has to make it seem like maybe it's not the husband. Even the cops have to, like, even the cops act like, the detectives are like, eh, maybe it's something else.
Maybe it's Chechenian separatists. We don't know.
Maybe they show a crazy Targaryen.
I guess, yeah, that's a really smart idea. That's going to take me a little while to unpack and see if I can write it all around that. But I did also want to tell you guys this real part of it, which was that the thing that was blowing my mind was how bad this guy was at it. Because at one point they're like, you know, actually doing the interrogation part where they're like, listen, man, we just have to ask, you know, you used to be fat. You're really fit now. When guys get fit, maybe sometimes they get a girlfriend. Wife doesn't fit into the picture, so... You know, and he's like, I've never cheated on my wife. I've never cheated on my wife. And so I'm watching this going like, okay, well, there's got to be some other reason that he murdered his wife then, because this would be a really easy thing for them to find out. And it would be really dumb of him to lie about it. So I'm watching this documentary like, man, I wonder what the reason's going to be. And then like 20 minutes later, they're like interviewing some woman and they're like, and then you had a sexual relationship with him. And she's like, yes. And I'm on the couch going, what?
I think I saw this one.
He did have it? And I'm not so surprised. Like, obviously, that's what happened. Like, he had a mistress and he killed his wife so he could be with his mistress. But I'm just like, but then why would he lie about it? It's the most easily fact-checked thing.
I mean, also, why wouldn't you just talk to your wife?
What do you mean? Instead of murdering her.
Yeah. It's like really passive aggressive. Probably the most passive aggressive way to get out of an uncomfortable conversation.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
One of the best Inside Amy Schumer sketches, for my money, was it was like a male like therapy group therapy session, and all the guys were just talking about their marital problems. But every guy, after talking about their marital problems, was like, so I guess I'll just murder her, I guess. I mean, I don't know. And they're like, whoa, no, you don't have to do it. Well, there's this other girl that I like, so I think I might kill my wife and then just marry the other girl. Like, that's not. This is really funny.
Yeah, that's great.
One thing I want to say is eventually they'll have to change the genre of murder mysteries to murders of women who have never seen murder mysteries.
First. Because the women who have are really smart and they don't get murdered.
Yeah, they know that their husband's going to try and kill them. So
yeah, exactly. But they do all the right things.
Maybe that's one of the reasons why some women watch these things, so that they
that
learn
100%
what
yeah,
to
it
look
is,
for.
It is a completely unconscious reaction to the constant danger that women are in.
Yeah,
always.
But you can learn. You learn psychology, even not even just from the documentaries. Even if you watch like Law and Order or Criminal Minds, they throw in a lot of real psychological things that you can pick up on and apply to. You know, it's almost like taking a course. You learn so much about that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's so, why I always watch documentaries on turning down women. It's kind of unconscious.
There's one other thing I wanted to say about this murder documentary that I can't remember what it was, but I was just, oh, here it is. Tell me if you guys relate to this also. So I'm watching this guy, watching this interview footage and body cam footage and security camera footage of this guy, and he's taking a lie detector test and he's like denying, you know. And at one point there's just like a point where he's just like, there's no going back. They know that I murdered my wife, you know? And I just remember sitting there just being like, God, what does it feel like to know that you are in that much trouble? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's obviously, you murdered someone. That's awful. That's bad. But I've been in trouble, and there's been that moment where I'm like, shit, I'm in trouble. I did something wrong, and it has been discovered.
I have my fanny pack on.
But I was thinking, like, the amount of trouble that I've been in is so far below. You caught me. I'm in a police station, and you know that I killed my wife and my two children. Is so much more trouble than I've ever been in. And so I just kept on sitting there just thinking, like, oh my God, what would it to be in that much trouble, to know you're in that much trouble? Like,
I think you see with his reaction, he was basically in shock. Like, he was not acting like a human being. Mm-hmm. He was just completely overwhelmed.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, I don't know. I've never cheated on anybody.
They found security footage of the street from one of his neighbors. And they're watching it, and as they're watching, he's like, yeah, you know, I got a truck out there, Hemi, and use it to drag a bunch of things, you know, put things in the back, drive it up and down the road, go to construction, you know, if I need a piece of equipment, take it home, take it back there, you know, I'm just always doing things with my truck, you know?
I'm not laughing at the situation, I'm just laughing at the enjoyable discomfort of this person who's done something so terrible. It's like, to know that he's in that much anxiety is very funny to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm, I mean, full disclosure, I was pretty high at the time, so I was, like, empathizing with that guy a lot. And so as he was getting in more and more trouble, my heart was just like, you know?
Yeah, there's something psychosomatic about watching somebody that sweaty. Sorry, what were you going to say, Anthony?
I was going to say, this feels like a concept that would have benefited from like, you know, like, if this was an episode where we had a woman as a guest, I think that this joke would benefit from some.
We did have a woman as a guest.
Not.
I mean, we edited her out because she wasn't making good jokes, and the jokes was the problem. Because guys, you know,
I think she went to her friend's house.
That's probably what happened. Actually,
I think she was going to her friend's.
And then Lee decided to draw her, but then Lee had to go. And the pictures aren't there anymore because she burned them.
Yeah, we don't know what happened. What, did I say something wrong? Did I say something, you know, what do you call it? This is a sincere ask, because Anthony brought up the fact that we didn't have a woman.
No, there. Just because we're just a bunch of dudes, we're going to always relate to, like, what it might feel like to be the husband, or, like, you know, it would be interesting for you to run this by some women and try to get, you know, some more perspective on.
Well, I did tell Kirsten that was one of the sensations I was feeling. I was just like, and it just blows my mind, like, the idea of, like, just being in that much trouble. And she was like, that is psychotic that you're thinking about, oh, if I did that, I would be in trouble. Like, that's the bad part. That's the worst part about it.
And where's Kirsten now?
she went to her mom's. She went to her mom's.
Mind if I give her a call? The mother, I mean?
Yeah, no, yeah, do it. I hope
Is she involved in any gang activity or?
Her mom was a drug mule for a little while.
Oh, a drug mule, yeah. That's a pretty dangerous job.
One more thing, they make me do this.
Oh. We just end every episode of the podcast with this question.
It's like inside the actor's studio, what if you met God type thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the hardest I've ever laughed? And
Yep.
like that.
So you have a curse formality. Did you kill your fiance, Kirsten?
Oh, no.
That's great. That's good. What a relief.
Live from New York. It's Saturday night.
This was very funny, but it did make me feel a little uncomfortable.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Wait, what? Like it did guy. Really?
A little bit, yeah. Just because I told Kirsten the idea of the trouble thing, like, are these guys going to be with me on it? And it really didn't seem like you guys were. That's not an indictment of you guys. But I do think that there's something.
It's definitely an indictment of you.
Well, I mean, what I was saying, I do agree with. Like, I felt that watching him, I did find it very funny. But I also, like, just psychosomatically watching a person that nervous makes me nervous. It makes my heart beat faster. So that I don't think you're a psycho for feeling empathy for or just like imagining what you'd be in their shoes. You're not like, I feel bad for him. You're like, can you just imagine being a human being in that situation? Fucking up that bad. Obviously you never would be, because
there
you wouldn't
is
fuck up.
No universe where I from this moment on I am not going to jail, either for life or to the electric chair. you right. know, and to yeah, just like yeah, be yeah. in that moment is just like
yeah,
yeah.
Is it weird that you couldn't imagine being in a position where you'd be in that much trouble? But it seems like you could imagine being in a position where you murder your wife
no,
and kids.
No.
Is that weird? No. No. I think that's totally fine.
When you originally said, can you imagine being in that much trouble? I thought that you meant, can you imagine being the wife about to be, when she's about to be murdered? Oh,
look at that. Look at the empathy.
No.
Anthony.
That's what I thought.
Oh, my wife's going to be so mad.
She finds her dead body in the bed.
I'm going to be sleeping on the couch for a while. That's for sure. She finds out what I did to the kids.
Oh, forget about that birthday blowjob. Whoever edits this episode, I might ask to get rid of this part that maybe
well, oh, and we're going to and be an accomplice to this?
We'll edit it out of the uploaded version, but we're keeping a copy.
For our own personal records.
Yeah, Kirsten ever goes missing one day, I'm going to be like, ah, officer, I got a podcast you should listen to.
He asked us to edit it out.
We send him just different episodes because we want him to listen to the podcast. We're just trying to grow the audience.
Well, we make the cop join the Patreon that he can get that episode.
In order for his confession Jared to make sense. In order for his confession
Jared
to make sense.
To murder.
$5,000.
$100, you get a special premium gift. For $5,000, you get the special Jared's Confession episode.
It's the special reward for murder episode. $5,000.
Jared, I really want to quell any fears you have because, one, I think everything we're doing is very funny. Mm-hmm. But then also, you know, I don't think anything you felt was weird.
Okay, good. Yeah, no, going on that last bit is like going to the cops with this and being like, we have Jared's confession, but in order for it to make sense, you really got to start from episode one. Watch the entire thing.
They just got like
and
a
make
clip.
Sure to like and subscribe.
And you know, leave a comment what your favorite bits were, you know.
What your favorite evidence was.
And you know, if you have jokes evidence. That you want to pitch to us, we have a live show once every 2 months.
Who knows? Maybe one of the other guys murdered somebody.
If you have any theories on how he did it, you want to pitch it.
Put in the comment thread. At the police station, they got like a pin board with like little strings. One's got like toe. Another one's
porch the table.
What does it all mean? What does it all mean?
Doesn't fit the profile.
I think toe is pretty clear.
We're gonna find her toe somewhere.
Yeah, I think that's evidence.
It's just a toe.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened to your wife's toe? All right. Your wife's toe went missing?
Yeah. Did you have related to episode 4?
Fantastic stuff, guys.
Well,
yeah, fun app, guys.
Really fun
yeah.
app.
It was
very fun for me. Yeah, I had a really good time.
I loved it.
I thought it was good.
Yeah, it was fine.
No, it was a great app.
Yeah. All right. And outro will go here. Hey everybody, thank you so much for watching. Don't forget to like, share, comment, and subscribe. Check back for more individual clips and full episodes every Monday, or you can listen wherever you enjoy podcasts. If you want to support the show and get access to special fan-only content, go to patreon.com/ITAPod. That's ITAPod, as in, Is This Anything Podcast. Relevant links in the description. Take care.